This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I'm just going to kind of update us on what God is doing right now in this hour. You ready? How would you like to hear what God is doing right now in this hour? See, he says that those who have ears to hear, let them hear. And it's important to have ears that are tuned in to the things of God, because if your ears are tuned in to the things of the world, you're going to be a little bit nervous in this world. It's going to be quite a bit of fear that's happening, that's going to happen to you in this world. But if our ears are tuned into him, we'll know that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. If our ears is tuned into him, he'll supernaturally lead us where we're living in a dark world, but he'll give us a great light. I said this a couple of weeks ago, as Jesus was being urged by his mother to do a miracle of turning that water into wine. How many of you know that story? And his mother was saying, "Now, do it." And he said, "Lady, this is not my time." How many of you praise God for a mother? Because I spoke to my mom many times and say, "Mom, it's not my time." And she's like, "Yes, it is your time. Come on up." You know. And Mary was speaking to Jesus and she said, "We need wine. It's ran out. It is your time. Come on, rise up. It's your time. Start it. Do it now." And the water was changed into wine, and the wedding guests could not believe it, because even at the very last of the wedding ceremony, the very end of it, where in the past, at every other wedding, the cheap wine used to come out at the end. But at the very end, the very best wine was there. And God is speaking that in this hour, that at the end, and those that have ears to hear, let them hear, that Jesus is coming back quickly. That he's coming back soon. How many of you enjoyed that baby this morning? Come on, Sam. Boy, that baby's cute. When we were praying over him, he had this little name tag just kind of going to the music. You know, he had the beat too. It was jingling and everything, man. My goodness, I want to thank the body for standing for this couple. We're going to see God move and move with power in this couple. And this, Sam, this will not be the first child. There'll be many children. Because the heart that God was speaking to you, that you have a heart of a father. And you know, that father's heart maybe wasn't given to you by an earthly father. I'm not for sure. But our heavenly father's heart is planted in you. And you're going to be a father to many. A father to the fatherless. And you're a man among men because of the heart that God's given you. And I don't want to focus, because I could speak a lot to you, Sam, because God's going to move mightily in your life. So ours, this is the hour to hear. So Jesus is coming back quickly. Peter said this 2,000 years ago, get ready. It's coming back quickly. And some of the kids come up and tell me, "That was 2,000 years ago." And I look at them and say, "Well, we're a lot closer than we were then, weren't we?" He's coming back. And what God is doing, he's calling his sons and his daughters in this hour back to him. A lot of people believe that the church is out of line. And when I say that, I'm just talking about in general, God's church is out of line. Many people believe that. Many men and women of God. Let me tell you, I don't listen and I don't read people of the last 10 years. I'm reading further back. I'm reading men and women of God like Lester Sumrall. Come on. Men and women of God that were right aligned. I'm not calling anybody for what they are, but I know these men had an ear to hear God. And they knew what he was saying. And they were pressing forward with what he's doing. We're living in an hour where the word even speaks to us to be very careful in this hour, because there'll be many false things happening. Many false doctrines, many people speaking, many people saying things, and they have ears. They'll get your ears, and you'll do anything and everything when they have your ears, but it's not of me. Come on, it's not of me. And we'll see many people in this hour that feel that they think that they're serving God, but they're just serving the world. We have to know that those that have ears to hear, let them hear. Do you know that the gospel that's preached is not an easy gospel? It says, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and die to yourself every day. You know, the gospel that's preached, that when it's preached, that every time it's preached, that there'll be a demonstration of His power. That's how you know if the gospel's preached. The word says this, that when the gospel's preached, there'll be a demonstration of God and of His power. So if you know of places that you're going to, that there's not a demonstration of His power, we have to be really careful, because the word says there will be a demonstration of His power. So God is speaking in this hour. What He's doing, He's bringing His children back to places. And He's spoken this to me, that it's not going to be Darren that's restoring His name, that it's not going to be Church of Living Waters that's restoring its name, that it's not going to be so-and-so restoring His name, that Jesus Himself is going to restore His name back into His church. And how some of that's going to happen. You ready? See, I have my ears tuned in. If there are men and women that are leading, and they're leading people, there's going to be a fine line that they're walking on. If I'm here and if I'm leading you and we're pressing forward, and on the side I'm doing this, and on the side I'm doing this, and back here I got this, let me tell you, when Jesus comes back and restores His name, lights are going to be turned on people like you're not going to believe. I praise God for these hallelujahs, because that could be some times that it's going to be a little nervous. But what's going to happen is the finest wine is here at the end, and a refining fire is going to come into the church, come into this hour. And let me tell you that only around fire can purity come out. It's really in my message, but I just want to press forward that Jesus is coming back into your life, into your heart, into your family. And an alignment is going to come in this hour like no other time, because this is the time. And He's not up in heaven looking down at His church saying, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Am I going to have to create another church? No, He's looking down at His church with a great love that He has. He knows how the enemy's tried to come against us in this hour. He knows where we are, but He's also saying, I'm coming back, church. I'm coming in with power. I'm coming in with love. I'm coming in, and you're going to see a great demonstration of Me. I'm coming into my church. Receive Me. Open up your arms and allow Me to come in. There's many times He tells me, Darren, it's not you today, it's Me. It's not you today, Darren. You just grab a seat. I'm going to show up today. Come on. I'm like, thank you, God. Thank you. I used to have my mom and dad sit right here. I'll say this, that just recently, my dad is speaking to me, and he's saying these words. He doesn't speak very much. He's saying these words, and he's saying, it's time. It's time. My dad is living for a great revival. He believes that he's going to see a revival. He's told me recently, I'm not going to see it, but I'm going to taste it. And he's speaking to me in this hour. He's speaking very strong. It's time. It's time. He'll lay down on his bed. I'll put him to bed, and he looks up and says, it's time. He's prophetically speaking into the times of what Jesus is saying. And he's saying, now is the hour. Now is the time. And I'm here to tell you that you don't want to get left. You don't want to get lost into what God is doing in this hour. You don't want to get caught up in the falseness of what's going on. You don't want to get caught up in the things of the world. Paul spoke very strong into Timothy as his son. And Paul was going to be leaving this earth. He knew that his time was up. His race had been ran. And he said these words to Timothy. He said, Timothy, don't entangle yourself in the way of the world, in the things of this life. Don't entangle yourself in the things of this life. Because if you do, you will not be able to honor the one that enlisted you. We have to be very careful getting entangled in the things of this world that take our time away from the things that God has for us. You know that I can name a lot of them, but we'll start with things like, you know what they are. I don't want to get entangled in that, because I want to stand up and I want to say, God, what's today? What's going on? Do you know that the word speaks very clearly about tabernacle? And I'm just going to share this. This is something God is just starting to speak to me. That there was a tabernacle that was created in the times of Moses. And you know what the tabernacle was for? The tabernacle was to hold God's presence. Come on. And boy, Moses, they did exactly what God said to build the tabernacle. And when that tabernacle was built, the presence of God was in that tabernacle, so much so that people would even pray towards the tabernacle because they knew that God's presence rested there. 400 and something years, that first tabernacle fell down. Then God rose up a man named Solomon to rise up a second tabernacle. Because God's presence needed to be here on the earth, and he was looking for his people that would rise up, that would say, this is the hour, this is the time. Let me tell you, Noah heard God's voice, but he didn't experience the presence, manifested presence of God, because there was not a tabernacle. So Solomon rose up, and he built a tabernacle, and God's presence rested in that tabernacle. And anybody that came in, anybody that came out, they were led by smoke. Come on. You remember these stories of the tabernacle. Let me tell you what God is doing. So the tabernacle fell. 400 and something years. And there was not a tabernacle until Jesus sent his own son here. Jesus represented the third tabernacle, and he carried the presence of God anywhere and everywhere he went. When he was there, the presence of God, the manifested presence of God, was where Jesus was. And people would follow him. People would run to him. Because of that presence of God that was there, people would just touch him and they would be healed. The presence of God touches and it heals. One touch of the presence of God, you'll be set free forever. I am hungry for his presence. So Jesus was here, and he was here at 33 years. Praise God, he took away the sins of the world. He nailed them on the cross with himself. And he was buried and he arose. But the fourth tabernacle that's here in today is God's church. And let me tell you who God's church is. It's you and it's me. Do you know me being part of God's church? The word calls me a tabernacle. It calls me a tabernacle, a place where God's presence rests. Mary, that's why you could go into the city of sin. And because of the presence of God in your tabernacle, who you bring, the Godhead that's on the inside of you, it must be able to go into darkness and create light. We carry the tabernacle of God's presence in us. And anywhere I go, every place that I go to, if I say, God, demonstrate yourself now, guess what happens? He demonstrates himself. I'm not special. I'm not different. It's because I understand and know that on the inside of me lives the same spirit, come on, that raised Christ from the dead. And so when I look at myself, I don't say, whoa, look at that nice hair. Look at those muscles. I don't say that kind of stuff. I say, wow, you're getting older. But on living on the inside of you, Darren, I'll look in the mirror and say this. Living on the inside of you is God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And on the inside of you rests God's presence. And I'm here to tell you that as we bring God's presence into a place like this, and he's carrying God's presence, they're carrying God's presence, you're carrying God's presence. My mom would say this, and this is the word of God, that in the corporate anointing, the presence of God is so powerful that healing happens in the corporate anointing. A couple of days after my brother died, he died on a Thursday, and my family was just torn to pieces. But on Sunday, there was no other place for me to go other than to the corporate anointing. Because in the corporate anointing is where healing is. And in the corporate anointing of where we come together and we bring the presence of God together, there is great power. God wanted to give us an example this morning, and I didn't know this was going to be. Hey, Vincent, how many of you, I'm telling you, you must be here next week. Come on. Brother Vincent Carr is going to bring the word. Have you ever heard Brother Vincent Carr bring the word? Now, many of us have been so amazed by him singing and leading us, But I'm here to say, when he brings the word, we have to be ready. God bless you. God wanted to show us a picture of his corporate body today by saying, let's supernaturally dedicate this baby. And what that was is that God wants to put his hands on this family, but he wanted to do it around the body, in the middle of the body. So bodies surround this couple, where the couple now knows they're not standing alone. It might feel that they're alone many times, but they're surrounded by God's body. Am I boring you to death with this message? Because we have to hear it until we grab it. He's the head, we're the body. As I see my wife, she loves to go out on the beach, and she'll go deep, especially if it's a nice beach, you know. Galveston, you're kind of like watching out, you know. She'll go really deep out there, so deep that you can barely just see her head. She just loves it. The water is so nice. I don't look out there and I say, Gamila's head, come here. All I see is her head. No, I don't say that. I say, Gamila, come. Because why? Her head's connected to her body, and they're one. We are connected to Christ. He's the head. We're the body. So we just call on Christ because we are Christ. We have to grab it. So these tabernacles, that God's presence is resting in the tabernacle today of us in his presence. And his presence rests on the inside of us. And that's why that we can call on his presence. Do you know that his presence creates peace? His presence creates hope. His presence heals. His presence sets free. I go in situations every day that my own hands and my own thinking and what I can do is very limited. But I stand there and say, God, you're living on the inside of me. And Father, your presence reigns here in this place today. So God, as I go into that hospital room, God, it's not me, but it's you, because we're connected. Father, you speak. Father, you touch. Father, you heal. Father, you. I'm a man of God because I know that I'm underneath authority. And I know that it's all about him and nothing about me. That I'm the weakest man living in this earth. I believe I'm a very weak man. But because I know that I'm weak and he is strong, I'm one of the strongest men that ever lived in this world. And I live because I'm weak. I'm not asking you to clap for me. I'm asking you to clap for the one that has set me free. What's going on in this hour is that God's wanting to bring great hope into your situation. Wherever you are right now, some of us are living with our children not saved. Some of us are living with a mate that's not saved. Some of us are living with sickness in our body. What God wants to do right now, today, even now, he wants to bring hope. Hope. Do you know that as we're praying and we're believing, some of us have been praying and believing for something for over 20 years, and we can get very weary in that prayer, and we can stand and say, God, when... And as a body comes together and comes and touches together, we can continue to pray and believe, because all God's called us to do is to believe. He's hope. We're supposed to believe in hope. I'm not coming into your hospital room one day saying, oh, I don't know about George, man. I don't know. He might not make it. No, I'm not doing that. It doesn't matter where George is. I'm coming into that hospital room because George has breath, because his heart is pumping, and God is in control of all of that. And I'm going to believe for him to rise up out of that bed. I'm going to believe that healing's going to come. I'm going to believe that to the very last second. And then when that second comes, the last breath that George takes is the first breath in paradise. And I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus, and I'm going to thank you for the healing. Amen. Praise God. So hope comes, and then there's healing. In this hour, God is bringing healing. I'm here to say this, that you can be healed of everything right now. You know why? Because we're in the last hour. And he's taking his children, and he's saying, if you align yourself with me, and you grab my hand, right now, healing is coming. And healing's just not coming on the surface. Healing's coming in deep on the inside of us. Things that have been for many, many years, hurts and pains that have been there for a long time, that have been passed down from generation to generation. On this hour, in this hour, we're being healed. Amen. And completely healed. So healed that we're free. Do you know that I want to be part of a body that's free? Come on. I know that we're on all kinds of different levels of freedom, but I don't want to be part of a body that the whole body's sick. I want to be part of the body that someone's rising up saying, God healed me last week because I trusted in Him. And if you're here sick today, it's not what you're doing. It's not what the enemy wants you to think. It's what I have done, what I haven't done. We're here to believe God for you, with you, knowing that God is our healer. God's going to bring healing. Amen. Then there's freedom. How many of you, if we would turn this worship band back on, how many of you, if I'd say, okay, let's come on, let's dance for freedom, how many of you could just come up and just do this? I saw some of you just put your head down quick. Let me tell you, the ones that put your head down quick, if for some reason the other night when the Houston Texans played the Dallas Cowboys, or they already had another game, and if J.J. Watt would have ran for that screen and he would have grabbed it and he would have took off and ran 90 yards, you would have been doing this. So if I can do that for J.J. Watt, I can do it for the King of Kings. Come on. And let me tell you, God is just looking for a people that are free. World, I don't care what you think about me. I know something that maybe you don't have a clue yet of, but I'm free. I'm free to dance. I'm free to run. I'm free to believe. I'm free. I'm free. The reason why I'm free, because I've been healed. Today, there needs to be healing in people's lives. Healing in all kinds of places. Healing of unforgiveness. We've been treated wrong. Things have been done wrong to us. Things from our upbringing, things that have happened in our lives that shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have happened to us, but it did. And we can't allow the rest of our lives to hold us back from something that happened. We have to allow God to come into our lives at that place and set us free. And what happens, that releases us then. It releases us to be free. If someone's come into your life and they've done something wrong to you, as you forgive them, it releases them into God's hands. What better hands to release them into but then to the Father? It takes them off of your hook and puts them on God's hook. I remember my dad praying over someone. A lot of times he'd say, come here, son. Praise God for a man of God. He'd say, come on. And what I knew what he'd want me to do is just watch. And there was a woman that was completely bound up. It couldn't even move, couldn't even straighten her hands out. And they brought her up to the front, and he said, come here. And I'm thinking, anytime my dad says, come here, she's going to be healed. He knows this. It's not about me. He knows something's fixing to happen, and he wants me to see it. So, lady, get ready. You're fixing to walk. That's all I'm thinking. The sad thing is, I'm not thinking, man, getting an agreement. I'm just thinking, I'm going to get to watch this. You know, it's going to be cool. I don't know how it's going to happen, but just wait. And so my dad started ministering to her, and most of the time he would just lay hands and he would pray for healing, but not with this lady. This lady, he spoke to her and he spoke into her, and he said that there is something in your life that you must forgive. And I saw this lady just start shaking, and I saw tears start rolling down her eyes. And in that, there was already started to be freedom in her life. Because she had to recognize that there was something in her life she must forgive. And very softly, she said, 50 years ago, my mom did this to me, and I've never forgiven her. And today, my mom is no longer living on this earth, and I still hold this against her. I don't think I can forgive her. And my dad says, today's the day, ma'am. God is saying He's here to help you, and you're going to forgive her. Come on. So I saw my dad bend down on a knee, and this is the words. You ready to hear what he said to her? He said, forgiveness is not about a feeling. It's about a decision. So today, it doesn't matter how you feel. God is here with you. And lady, all you have to do is make a decision. Do you remember when you decided to receive Christ in your life? You didn't really feel all of it, but you made a decision. And when this woman says, I decide to forgive, at that very second, she was able to be released from the schemes and ways of the enemy. Her hands started straightening up. Her legs started straightening up. She got up out of that chair, and she jumped, and she danced, and she circled the entire church, praising the Lord. And it wasn't that she needed healing in her body. She needed healing in her soul. Come on. God is ready to heal. He's ready to go in deep, and he's ready to heal. Because why? Because in this hour, there are many that are lost, many that are going to hell, that he wants us to be a representative of him. All of this is not for me, it's for others. Come on. Hope, healing, freedom. When we receive freedom, praise God for freedom. There's many countries today that if they were in church, they couldn't even be in church. They're underground. Many places today, and this is real church. Why can't we hear this and understand this? Just because we haven't been there and we haven't had to experience it, there's brothers and there's sisters in Christ that are our brothers in Christ that are being being killed because of the belief of Jesus Christ. And who are we to live in such a mighty country with all kinds of safety, with me being able to have freedom? Who are we to be able to be bold in that kind of belief and not to pray for another brother? It's real. It's happening today. But what happens with freedom is that we then receive the ability to receive his love. The ability to receive his love. In that, then there's a great calling that happens in your life. Come on. Frank's been radically set free, radically saved, and we've heard his testimony. We're going to continue to hear his testimony. But in that testimony, what's happened is that there was hope that came in his life. Come on. There was hope. Then there was healing. Then there was freedom. And in that freedom, there was the ability for him to receive God's love. And in that ability to receive God's love, it turned him into, I cannot contain it, I cannot hold it, I cannot keep it for myself. It has to overflow, and it has to run out of me, and it has to go into a lost and dying world. If you're not there, that's where God wants you to get to. Come on. Pastor, I've been a Christian for 40 years. Praise God. I'm thankful that you've been a Christian. I'm thankful that you've stood. But if you're not overflowing with God's love and allowing it pouring out of you, there's still a work that needs to be done in your life. And it goes backwards. If you're not able to be squeezed and allow his love to come, then you need freedom. And if you don't have freedom, then you need healing. And if that healing's not there, then you need hope. And hope is Jesus. It's really simple, guys. It's simple to hear this, but it's very difficult to say, God, start with me. If that woman would have been in that wheelchair and she would have said, no, I can't forgive her, they would have walked her back and pushed her back, and she still would have been bound in her body. But a decision brought healing. I wanted to speak just a minute, and I know that the time is short. Praise God for Brother Vincent next week, going to bring the word, and we're going to receive that. The following Sunday after that, October 26th, there's going to be a miracle that's going to happen in this place. I'm calling out for a miracle, amen? And what this miracle is going to be, that many people in this fellowship are going to be water baptized October 26th. And let me tell you, there will be a miracle that day. And I just want to speak a minute. Back on the back table, there's a sign up. I wanted to speak a minute about water baptism and what water baptism has done to me, because it's part of this hope healing. When I received Jesus, I received a great hope in my life. And I knew that there was something that happened in my life, that there was something that God could do, but I turned around and I went back into my same life. I don't know about you, but I sure felt God, and I felt the experience, and I knew that He died for me, and I knew that he took sin. But when I walked around and went back, I went back into my same friends. I went back into my same life. I went back into my same situations. And I'm here to tell you, the miracle of water baptism set me free. I'll say it again. The miracle of water baptism set me free. And I wanted to just share a minute, because the Israelites did not really receive freedom until the water came. Egyptians held them captive for so many years. and plague after plague. You would think frogs would take everything down and we would never mess with you again. Take the frogs away. Leave us. But it wasn't enough. You would think boils on the skin, completely covered with boil, just get these boils out of here and go. But it wasn't enough. Until the slaying of children. And that slaying of the firstborn was so overwhelming in that hour, it was completely dark of all of Egypt. And Pharaoh looked, which Pharaoh represents Satan. Pharaoh looked at the Israelites and he said, go! Get out of here. Released. Leave us alone. So millions of Israelites fled out of that land. And they're being led by Moses, fleeing out of that land. And they left. But then Pharaoh came, the enemy came, and they said, why did we let them go? They were our work. They were our hope. They were the ones doing everything. And he grabbed it, no matter if they lost the first sons, no matter what happened, still, Pharaoh was still after the Israelites. So Israelites come up to the great parting of the Red Sea. Come on, praise God. And Moses raises that staff up, and the water parts. And boy, the Israelites flow through the land of dry land. And the Israelites, the Egyptians, come up to that coast, come up to that line, and they're looking, and they're running after them, and they're continuing to capture them, wanting to bring them back, until they went on the dry land, and the water brought death to them. Romans talks about water baptism bringing death to ourselves, the same as Christ's death, that we're in his death. And I'm here to tell you that maybe you were water baptized as a child, but if you are still feeling the enemy screaming in your ear, and you're still feeling him being captive, and him running after you, and him continuing trying to get you no matter what's happened, and he has not been dead in the water, then water baptism is a must. Because I'm here to say this, that when I was baptized in water, and it was freezing that day, I just think God had it cold for me just to remember. And when I was dunked into water, not sprinkled, I needed it all. And it was my dad doing it, and he kind of like held me down a while. You got it? Let me know when you get it. When I came up out of that water, there was a miracle that happened that day. I was a new man. Yes, I had Christ in my life. Yes, I had everlasting life. But the enemy was after me, and he was after me, and he was after me. Now today, when he comes after me, today, I take him and remind him back of the death that happened in the water. If I need to go deeper and say, well, remember the Egyptians, how the water just crushed them and how there was no longer any pursuit after them? Enemy, that's you in my life. Remember when I went down in that water? And I said, my old man's dead. It's buried. I go to the grave quite often. I visit that grave quite often and let him know that that's where he died. That's where the pursuit after me died. And when I came up, I was a new man, and he was left right there. There needs to be a miracle in many of our lives. This is what hope and healing is.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.